chapter 6. Let me say again, it is good to be back in the house of the Lord. I miss going to church. And I know it can get so routine if we're not careful that we'll take it for granted. Being able to be in the house of God, to be around God's people, and just to get the encouragement that we get from the house of God. And I've quoted that scripture many times, not for Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly yourselves together, as a manner of some is, but so exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. As we look around, you go across this country, and you got to realize that if you got any spiritual discernment about you at all, that Jesus is coming soon. We see all the turmoil, all the problems, all the things that's going on, and we got to realize that we could be the generation that gets raptured out of here. And I don't understand why people don't want to go to church. People that saved by the grace of God, and I've seen a lot of them that will just use any excuse to stay out. And I miss church. I miss being here on Sunday and Wednesday night. And I even miss going to the rescue mission on Thursday night. I thank God that He's allowed us to be a little part of His work and to be able to minister and try to encourage people. And it's just good to be able to say with the psalmist, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. And if you don't enjoy going to the house of the Lord, I'd check up and see where you are, as far as your relationship is, and far as, are you really saved? I believe a saved person, I believe when they get born again, I believe God puts a desire to be in God's house. And I know I was raised in church, and a lot of times when I was a teenager, maybe I didn't want to go to church, you know. But when I got saved, God did something in my heart that I've always wanted to go to church, whether I was right with Him or not. There was just a something in my heart that told me I needed to be in the house of God. And I thank God that He's given me a wife that wants to go to church. And it encourages me all these years to stay in church and to stay faithful to God. Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to read the entire chapter this evening. Give you some thoughts here on broken without remedy. Broken without remedy. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1, it says, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thy sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come on as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Verses 12 through 15, where we'll be looking this evening, the Bible says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from flattery of tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry, but if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to be back in your house. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together on Wednesday evening, Lord, to worship you and to praise you, Lord, and just to be together, Lord, that we might encourage one another to continue on. Lord, realize, Lord, we're living in a day when a lot of people are falling by the wayside. Lord, and I pray that you would just give grace to your people, Lord, that we'd stay true, Lord, that we'd be yielded to you, Lord, that we'd be sincere, Lord, in our service to you, Lord, and in our walk with you, Father. Lord, help our church to grow. Lord, you know what we stand in need of. Lord, we realize there's a lot of empty pews here, and they've been empty for a while. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would move in our midst, and Lord, that you'd fill these pews. Lord, I pray for these prayer requests that's been made this evening, those that are lost. God, I pray most of all that you save them, Lord. Those that are in trouble, Lord, that you'd help them and give them the right path to walk in. Lord, those that have sickness, Lord, that you'd heal them according to your will. Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, that you'd help us as your people. Lord, that we'd be faithful in these days in which we live in. Lord, I pray now that you stir our hearts for just a little bit. Lord, you know what we stand in need of. Lord, we realize we've not been in church for a couple of weeks, Lord, and I just pray that you'd hide us behind the cross, give liberty, Lord, give us the anointing, Lord, that only you can give. Lord, give us the right words to speak this evening. Lord, we thank you for the good report of the good messages that's been preached across this pulpit in the past few Sundays and Wednesdays, Lord. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, this evening, Lord, that you'd help us once again. Lord, this is one place. Lord, we stand in need of your help and your touch most of all. Lord, we don't want to stand alone, Lord, and try to preach your word, Lord. And I pray now that you'd help us. Give liberty, Lord. Touch the lost. Deal with their hearts. Lord, I pray that someone that may be watching by the way of the webcast, we notice there's several on this evening. God, I pray that you'd minister to their hearts, and I pray for that one that may be here this evening that's never trusted you as their Savior. Oh, God, I pray that you convict their heart. They see their self. They see hell, Lord. They see, Lord, where sinners spend an eternity without you. God, just have your way. We love you, and thank you again for the privilege we have to be in your house tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd have your way. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. Broken without remedy. The Bible said there in verse 6, chapter 6 and verse 15, said, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. What and how we communicate is important to God. There are those who are skilled in the methods of communication, but deceitfully use their skills to spread slander and strife. When we see here in this text first a description of a person who deceives and stirs up strife, verses 12 to 15, and then the activities that such a person engages in verses 16 to 19. If the slothful are to be condemned who do nothing, much more those who do evil. Observe how such a man is described. And I'll look at several things this evening that the description that should be spotted and avoided as we go through this walk of life. And there's a lot of people in trouble this evening because of this very thing that they're involved in and they get caught up in. But we see, first of all, we see the perverse communication there in verse 12. Again, he said, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. And I began to look up those words this afternoon there in verse 12. And that naughty person is a word that comes from a Hebrew word that means worthless. Worthless and good for nothing, unprofitable, base, a base fella, wicked. And it means ruin and destruction. The KJV Bible translates in the following manner that word is Belial, wicked, ungodly, evil, or naughty, an ungodly man. And we see a man described like that over in the book of 2 Samuel by the name of Nabal. And the Bible is, I like the honesty of the Bible, and we know that when David was running for his life, and we find in verse chapter 25, verse 1, the Bible said, and Samuel died, and all Israel, the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah, and David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. The Bible tells, verse 2, said, there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doing, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear sheep, and David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, said, get up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee and peace to be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shears. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we heard them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son, David. And we find here in this story that David had been in the wilderness. He was running for his life from Saul, and he had run into this situation. They needed food, and he seen that Nabal had plenty of food, and so he sent his men to ask him of the hand of Nabal to give them some food, that, you know, and that, told him that how they could have took things, but they didn't. And we find that Nabal was very harsh with him. And the Bible describes him as a churlish man. And the Bible says he was the son of Belial. And he was a wicked man. He was a hateful man. He was an evil man. And it goes on over in verse 25, and we find that David is fixing to go back, and he's going to take what he needs at that point. He had asked and requested, but this man was churlish. He was hateful. He was evil. He was a son of Belial. He was a naughty person, as the Bible gives a description of that word. Verse 25, and said, we find here that as verse 23 said, when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I Pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him, but I thine handmaid, saw not the young men of thy Lord, whom thou didst send. And it goes on, tells the story of what took place, and how she brought David and them food. But I said all that to say this, that that word, it said that Nabal was a son of Belial. He was a man that was hateful. He was evil. And as the Bible gives this description here in Proverbs in verse 12, said a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. And let me say that Nabal had a froward mouth on him. He responded to David with hateful words. He responded to David with threats. And he could have been kind because David had been there in the wilderness. He could have taken what he wanted to. Yet we find that they were of the caliber that they asked kindly. And they were responded with wicked words. They were responded back with a man with a froward mouth. And we find that the mouth of the speech is the vehicle by which this person gives outward expression to the evil thoughts which are inwardly filling his heart. And we find that Nabal, he was that kind of man. When he found out what Abigail did and she carried the food and that David and them needed, he got so upset that he died. I mean, all that stress and all that wickedness that was coming out of him, it just built up. And no doubt this man probably had a heart attack and died. But we find this individual is known by his corrupt or perverse mouth here that's speaking here in the book of Proverbs. And we all know people like that. We all know people that respond with hateful words and unkind gestures of their eyelids and their hands and their manner that they speak with. And you can't reason with a person like that. His speech or his mouth betrays his crookedness because he works with deception or with crafty hidden motives. He can't be trusted. Here we find in the Second Samuel 25, we find a man like that by the name of Nabal. I've run into a lot of individuals like that today. And it's sad to say I've run into some individuals like that in the house of God. And it shouldn't be that people are this type of person that they're wicked and that they're always got shortness in their speech and the things that they say, they're sharp and they're stabbing. And the Bible tells us what the end of them will be. We see the perverse communication of a person like that. And it's a whole lot easier to be kind and compassionate and use kind words than it is to always be harsh and mean and evil and be like a son of Belial or be like a naughty person or a wicked man. And most of the time you'll find that they are like this man here that's spoken of in the proverb, one that walketh with a froward mouth. That word froward, it means distortion or crookedness. You can't trust what they say. You can't depend upon what they say. They're double talkers. They'll say one thing this time and the next time they'll say something else. We see the perverse communication. We see the perverse course that's taken, number 2, Proverbs 6, verses 13 to 14. The Bible says, He winketh with His eyes, He speaketh with His feet, He teacheth with His fingers. Frowardness, again, is in His heart, He deviseth mischief continually, and He soweth discord. In verse 13 here, we learn, hey, that these individuals' manners are malicious also. They're malicious also. In order to gauge others in his plot, he ensnares them with signals. The idea of winking, they say, with your eyes, speaking with your feet, and teaching with your fingers, infer double talk. saying one thing but meaning another. And I've seen a lot of individuals like that. They talk with double talk. They'll say one thing and you'll think, this person's really sincere, but in essence they mean something else. They're trying to be deceitful. The perverse course. When nonverbal gestures are on the outside, much worse is on the inside. You see people that talk with their hands a lot. A lot of times people say more with their hands and their body features and the way they look. And you ever seen anybody, you say something or they say something, they roll their eyes? They use a lot of gestures. Well, it's worse on the inside what they're thinking than what they're actually saying. They're double talking. They may sound okay, but you can notice their gestures. We find here also that the perverse man sows discord. Though he hypocritically has sincerity underneath, he's perverted and causes dissension, drawing others into discord or strife. Discord or strife. And you go on down here and you see verse 16 said, "These six things doth the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination to it." And I was thinking about that this evening. The six is the number of man. You'll find these six things in man. And then the Bible says number seven is the number of completeness. And you'll find what's an abomination to God. He said a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. The Bible says sowing discord among the brethren is an abomination to God. And I've seen a lot of people, a lot of families, a lot of churches, a lot of different things, individuals that's been destroyed by someone that sowed discord. And we see that all the time. People, they get unhappy in church. People get their feelings hurt. And the next thing you know, they're sowing discord. They're sowing discord. And I don't want to be one that sows discord to you. They said one time that there was this family that was living in a small town in North Dakota was destroyed by an untrue story. The mother had not been well since the birth of her second baby, but people knew she did all she could to create an atmosphere of love in their home. The neighbors would see the father being met at the door each night with hugs and kisses from his wife and two small children. Said a village gossip wanted their home, so she whispered that the man was being unfaithful to his wife. The story was entirely without foundation, but it began to spread. Eventually, it came to the wife's ears. Because of her weakened condition, it was more than she could bear. And a few weeks later, she suffered a mental collapse. One evening, when her husband came home, coldness and quietness sent a chill of fear over his heart. Soon, the awful truth became apparent. His wife, sick in despair, had taken her own life and those of her two children. The man was beside himself with grief, but the perverse words had already done their deadly work. The woman who began the rumor was pleased with herself and what she had caused to occur. She eventually got the house, but it never became a home again. There's a lot of people who've been destroyed by people that were sowing discord, telling untruths. Homes have been destroyed. Churches have been destroyed. Rumors that were not true, that had been built up and sowing discord among the brethren. And the Bible says that that's an abomination unto God. So we see the perverse communication, then we see the perverse course. But then we see the perverse, number three, the perverse conclusion. Verse 15 said, "Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy." That word remedy was without a cure. The Bible tells us over in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1, said, "He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Did you know that there's a point and place in your life that you can be reproved from God? God can reprove you through preaching, through the reading of the Word of God or whatever, and you keep hardening your neck and hardening your neck, and one day that they'll come to a point and place that you'll get so hardened, hey, that you'll pass that point of no return. I believe the Bible teaches this, and a person to be destroyed in that without remedy, there won't be no cure for. You know, most any sin that you get in your life or anything that might be displeasing to God, I'm glad that He's given us as Christians, as those that are believers, I'm glad He's given us 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But so many times people get caught up in their sin and things like this man here of the Proverbs, and they refuse to repent, and they get hardened. And the next thing you know, they come to a point and place of no remedy, no cure. They pass that point of no return. How sad it is to see people that gets to that point and place in their lives. The perverse conclusion. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Besides causing discord among people by his deceptive words and his deceptive gesture, verse 15 teaches us that this person brings disaster on himself. How many times have we seen people that destroyed their own lives because they were sowers of discord, or because they spoke with double talk and were deceptive in their dealings and in the things that they said? But the fate here awaiting this individual that spreads strife will be sudden and disastrous. His ruin shall come without warning and without relief. It comes unexpectedly and it comes quickly. The Bible talks over in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 or chapter 6, somewhere right in there. It talks about though someone sin 100 times and no judgment comes, but then one day it's coming. They keep going in their way. They keep going in their obnoxiousness, and one day that judgment will come. Just like this man of the Proverbs here that's speaking of here. The naughty person, the wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. You know, we can't see the heart. But God can see the heart. He knows what our heart is made of. He knows the thoughts that we have. He knows the actions that we portray in our lives on a regular basis. He knows the sincerity of what we're saying. And He knows the frowardness of the things that come out of our mouth. Those things that are mean. Those things that are cruel. Just like Nabal, a man of Belial. Now, he had plenty. He could have helped David. He could have supplied the meat that they needed to eat. He could have supplied the fruit that they needed to sustain them. And his wife knew that he was a hateful man. He was a naughty man. He was a man of Belial. And she thought, well, she'll save face and she'll bring and try to take care of it. But it come to that point and place that he was cut off. Hey, he was without remedy and he died. You ever try to tell someone something, and as you did, you used your hands to describe whatever was being discussed? And I talk with my hands a lot. And you do too. We talk with motion. But this nonverbal communication may be as important as verbal. It says some researchers have concluded that in conversation, the total message communicated is estimated at 55% facial, 38% vocal and only 7% verbal. We need to be careful of our nonverbal language. Remember that old saying, actions speak louder than words. Therefore, God holds us more accountable for them, I believe. I believe that one of these days we're going to stand before God. We're going to give account for every word, everything that we've ever said. Those foolish words, those gestures, that sowing of discord, those false tales. Verses 16 on through verse 19 is a pretty serious passage of Scripture here in the book of Proverbs. And we'll look at these every once in a while when we're reading through the book of Proverbs. It said, these six things doth the Lord hate. You know, I don't want to be guilty of doing the things and harboring the things in my heart that the Lord hates. But you know, so many times we got these things. We're all guilty of these six things and that seventh one sometimes. It said, yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look. How many times we have a proud look in our heart, in our life? A lying tongue. Have you ever lied? The Bible said lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord. And hands that shed innocent blood. There's a lot of people that's destroyed people's lives. Not maybe they didn't take their lives, but even though with their words and with their gestures and things that they said about a person. And then a lot of times, people that kill with their hands. Said hands that shed innocent blood. We hear of stories of men that kill their families and their children just because they've maybe jealous, maybe because they're on drugs, maybe something that they could avoid it. They got to that point in place that they were, as this man here says, suddenly shall be broken without remedy. There was no cure for them. Said, in heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. You ever thought about all the things that's on television, some of the shows that, I mean, you just see the commercials on them, and you just think, how wicked. I mean, where did they come up with all this stuff? There's some wicked imaginations that come up with these video games, these television shows, these science fiction stuff. It's devised through evil imaginations. Feet that be swift and run into mischief. There's a lot of people that are swift and run into mischief, telling things that they heard, trying to destroy someone else. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, you could preach on this for hours, on these seven things. But remember, this man of Proverbs that's speaking about this naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. The deceptiveness. Hey, we need to be as honest with ourselves, with God, with our fellow man as we can be. Because I believe, honestly, the more we do things, the more we allow these things to build up and to corrupt our lives. I've seen it happen to people. They get to a point and a place in their life that they're broken without remedy. I don't want to ever take the things of God for granted. And I know we're all hateful sometimes. We're all sharp with our tongue. We're witty a lot of times and say things that hurt people. Well, think about what we say before we say it. We ought to want to be pleasing to God and be that person that could see Jesus, that someone could see Jesus in our lives instead of being that son of Belial, like Nabal, like this man here that Solomon is warning his son about and about becoming that kind of a person. I don't want to ever become that kind of a person. And I know I'm hateful sometimes, and I catch myself being hateful, and I don't like that part of me, Brother Tim. It's a whole lot easier to be kind, to say kind words. And you know, tell Barry. We ought to be careful what we tell. Most things that's told a lot of times ain't even true. Just like this illustration I gave you, this woman that spread that rumor. That husband was coming home. They had a happy home. People were jealous. People are jealous when you have a happy home. And the devil wants nothing more than to use someone to destroy somebody else. And I don't want to be that person that the devil uses to destroy one of God's little ones. The Bible says it's better to have a millstone tied about your head and cast in depths of sea than destroy one of these little ones. And I believe that's one of them weak ones. One of those Christians that maybe be a baby Christian. And that man with a froward mouth, he don't care. Or that woman with a froward mouth. That naughty person that the devil can use. Read the Proverbs. Encourage you again. Get in this book of Proverbs. Read a chapter a day. And mark it. And just see how many times you can read through. Get through this year. Start another year. January 1st. Start reading through. Read a chapter a day. And mark your Bible. Keep up with it. You'd be surprised how many times you would read this book. And it's a great book of instruction. If we didn't have no more of the Bible, I believe that we could live a life that would be pleasing to God by the book of Proverbs. I used to say this. The church covenant that we used to put on the back walls in our churches, if you didn't have a Bible, if you'd live by that church covenant, you know, we could be the kind of Christian that God wants us to be. But yet we fail so many times. And people get caught up. And they're broken without remedy. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. Better be careful how we handle the reproofs, the instructions that God gives us in His Word. Lord, we thank You again for the opportunity to be back in Your house. Lord, I can truly leave and say this. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord this evening, to be with Your people once again. Lord, we enjoy going to different places. But Lord, there's always that longing when it gets church time to be in the house of God with Your people. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to never let it get to the point and place that we put other things before You and not have that desire to go to the house of God and hear preaching and singing, Lord, and just to be around God's people. Lord, we enjoyed being out in Colorado with our friends, our family, but Lord, we just thank You that we're back in the house of God this evening. We love You and thank You for loving us and dying for us. Lord, help us be that person and be pleasing to You. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. God